God bless you, saints. I'm so grateful to the Lord for all that he's done for me, and I thank him for his abundant grace for me, because he's been really, really good to me and my family, and I just want to say thank you to him this morning. Amen. We'd like to sing to glorify his name. Amen.
I'm only human. I'm just a woman. Lord, help me believe in what I could be and know that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Help me today, show me the way. One day at a time. Do you remember when you walked a moment? Well, Jesus, you know, if you're looking below, it's worse down than dead. Pushing and shoving, that's crowding my mind. But Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way. One day at a time. Lord, help me today, show me the way. One day at a time.
God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Brian, are you ready? Today we have a serious combination. Brother Brian and Sister Lily and Sister Deirdre. Wow. Amen. The church is uniting slowly. The English and the Congolese and the Northern Irish. Amen. What key, brother?
Gave a short testimony before we sing this song together. And yesterday we were the last day that we would ever spend in the house in Coquille was yesterday. We just prayed before we left the premises. And we were praying, and I was just thinking over the time that we'd been there and the many marvelous and wonderful things God has did while we were in that premises. And how God has led us all the way. And how we were wondering whenever we went into it, was it God's will? But whenever we were closing the door on it yesterday, and we had that prayer, and we were praying, and I just said, Lord, thank you for the stepping stones along the way, Lord. And we're going to sing this song, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. But, you know, until that day when that chariot comes down, then God will lead us on. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. There's a band of angels coming after me. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Now if you get there before I do, coming for to carry me home. Tell all my friends I'm coming too. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Now I'm sometimes up and I'm sometimes down. Coming for to carry me home. But still my soul is heavenly bound. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Now the brightest day that I can say, coming for to carry me home. When Jesus washed all my sins away, coming for to carry me home. All together now.
Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home.
God bless you, Zane. Thank you.
Amen. One last, Brother Maxwell. You have a testimony, eh? Amen.
God bless you, saints. I'm thankful that I'm back among the fold of the Lord. And I just want to say thank you to church, because when I was in Italy, I was still in the spirit with you here. I was always on the stream, both Wednesdays and Sundays. And I hear prayers for myself and my wife. And I just want to say thank you. And your prayers also, the Lord, it reached the Lord. The purpose of my going was to go for a medical examination and my wife. And the result was exceptionally. Amen. You can't believe it. Amen. The doctor himself was surprised. And he said, look, as you are growing older, your system is growing younger. Amen. Amen. That the results were so wonderful. I have them in my bag here. And later, anyone who wants to see it, I will just show it to you. I just thank the Lord. And my wife also, even I've said that that word diabetic is out of that house. Amen. We are not going to mention it anymore.
Amen.
Because her result also was just wonderful. Amen. So we thank you for your prayers. God richly bless you.
Amen. Let's stand up. Let's sing Ruth Decide. E-L-C-L-D.
Entreat me not to leave thee, to return from following thee. For where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. Where thou diest, there will I be buried. Lord, do so to me, and more also, devoted part thee and me. Oh, depart thee and me, root decide in serving, root rewarded. Ruth deciding, serving, Ruth rewarded, Ruth resting. My kinsman redeemer, he's the Lord of the harvest. If you can find grace, you found best. Oh, as the Lord of the harvest. Oh, he's the Lord of the harvest. He told his reapers, she's gleaning for life. Drop handfuls once in a while. Don't let her tire, tell her the message. Holy Spirit, cover and encourage. Do some kind of healing among her. Tell her Jesus Christ is Lord. If you can find grace, you found rest. Go as the Lord of the harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest. Root deciding, root serving, root rewarded, root resting. Root serving, root rewarded, root resting. My kinsman redeemer, he's the Lord of the harvest. If you can find grace, you found rest. Who was the Lord of the harvest? He's the Lord of the harvest. Shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with me? Boaz our kindred, he winnoweth barley on the threshing floor. Wash thyself and anoint thee, put on thy raiment, mark the place where he lie, uncover his feet, lay thee down. He's the Lord of the harvest, root deciding, root serving, root rewarded, root resting, root deciding, root serving, root rewarded, root resting. My kingsman redeemer, he's the Lord of the harvest. If you can find grace, you found rest. Oh, as the Lord of the harvest, he's the Lord of the harvest. So faced with the same decision, God's bride must needs reach perfection. The harvest is ripe, the field's yield is great. In this part of the vineyard we wait. We hear Boaz's voice cry, get ready, take your position, Ruth, with your raiment spotless and white. Get ready for this last great flight. Oh, get ready, get ready, take your position, Ruth deciding, Ruth serving, root rewarded, root resting, root deciding, root serving, root rewarded, root resting. My kingsman redeemer, he's the Lord of the harvest. If you can find grace, you found rest. Oh, as the Lord of the harvest. Oh, he's the Lord of the harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest.
Amen. He's the Lord of the harvest. May he be the Lord of all that we do. Saints, we've got a couple of prayer requests as we greet you today in Jesus' name. Sister Teriro is not well. She has a sore throat, a bad cough. She's asking for prayer. Sister Julie, she's at work this morning asking for prayer. We want to welcome Mr. Cheninga once again, Brother Wilmore's dad. We were with him yesterday. It's really good to be with him. God bless you richly, bro. And also we want to welcome Sister Jivili back. Sister Jivili is back with us for a year at college. God bless you richly, sister. May the Lord be with you. Amen. And God bless you, Brother Lubanza. Amen. He's just walked in. We really do greet you, brother, in Jesus' name. Also, Brother Vlad, Sister Lydia, asking the saints kindly to remember them in prayer. To remember in prayer Samko Gajos from Slovakia, living in Ireland. He's 7 years seriously ill with cancer. So that's a need. Let's come before the Lord. Let's put this before the Lord. Father, we are so glad that, Father, every situation is an opportunity for you. And Father, we want to bring the circumstances unto thee upon this day. We want to bring every situation unto thee even at this time. Even this young man, Father Samko, you know him by name. Father, you know his soul, Lord, a young soul that he has. You know his body. You see this affliction inside of his body. Father, we just want to consecrate and commit him up into thine hands, Lord, to seek, to ask, and to pray for your mercy and for your grace upon this day. Father, look down with your eyes of mercy. Lord, we'd ask and pray and just reach forth. Father, we send your word to him in Jesus' name. Father, may you deal faithfully, Lord, with him. We know, Lord, that you were manifest to destroy the works of the enemy. So, Father, we commit that situation into your hands. We thank you, Lord, for bringing our sister back safely to be with us, Lord. Sister Jivili, bless her. Bless her in her college. Give her wisdom. Give her grace, Lord. Give her favor. We'd ask and pray. Keep her is our petition, Lord. Even Brother Wilmore's dad, we're so glad he's with us, Lord. May you bless him. May you give him a good rest, Lord. May you be with him, Lord. May he be a blessing to us. May we be a blessing to him as well. Father, Sister Teriro, Lord, she's sick. We, Father, look unto thee. We lift her up, Lord, upon this day, trusting, Lord, that already Jesus is on the scene. Father, we just commit that situation into thine hands, Lord. You be glorified. We seek and ask and praise. You bring all before thee at this time, that you may be glorified. May you help us this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Saints, let's stand. Let's take our thought, maybe just to base it on this kind of a thought today. Let's open our scripture to Deuteronomy 32, verse 11. And also, let's take things back into the Word again. Now, as we'll see, I really do believe that every situation is a divine opportunity. Depending on how you look at a situation, every single situation that comes into the life of a believer is ordained by God. The prophet says nothing happens to a believer by chance. You know, so if you find whatever's happening, if it's conflict, if it's strife, if it's misunderstanding, if it's sickness, whatsoever it is, as we said last week, there's always a voice behind the affliction, the judgment. There's a voice behind the wind and the storms, because you know, God deals faithfully with his children. And let's read it in Deuteronomy 32, verse 11. We know the scripture well. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. We know the prophet took this particular scripture many times in the message as the eagle stirs its nest. And there's one thing I really like about the way that the Bible expresses this. It says, as the eagle stirs up the nest. So when a nest is stirred up, if you find this great mother eagle, she comes down, there's a little eaglet sitting in the nest. It's time for them now to fly. It's time for them to mature. It's time for them to move on. They've come to a certain place in the nest. They've been long enough in the nest. It's a time of transition. It's time now where they need to move on to the next stage of what they ordained to be. So the mother eagle comes, we know the story, and takes all the comfort out of the nest, takes out all the lambskin, and takes out all the rabbit fur and so forth. And the eagle, the nest all of a sudden becomes a place that isn't so comfortable for those eaglets anymore. Then you find the big mother eagle, she comes and she cries over the eagles, and she flaps her wings. She stirs up the nest and the wind comes and blows those eaglets. And the prophet says, the mother eagle's trying to get rid of the loose feathers, trying to get rid of anything which is an impediment to stop those little eaglets from flying. Now, those little eaglets at first may not understand what's going on. They just say, there's been a bit of a change here. You know, why is mama eagle behaving in this kind of a way? You know, why are things not as comfortable as they were before? You know, it's a change in the nest. But after a while, when the mother eagle communicates her desire to them, and they start getting into the same spirit as the mother eagle, and they get onto the wings of the mother eagle, and she takes them up and lets them go, and they start now to find their wings, and they're able now to fly like mother eagle flies. They start looking at that situation with an understanding. They start seeing that mama had a purpose in stirring up the nest. And I really believe that makes the difference in every situation. If you can see God in a situation, you're going to overcome that situation. But if you're just going to look at the devil, if you're just going to look at circumstances, if you're just going to look at anything else, you're going to give a real opportunity for the devil to take what should be a stepping stone and you're going to turn it into a stumbling block. And the prophet speaks of that. And Sister Deirdre mentioned that when she came up saying, Lord, we thank you for these stepping stones. I just wanted to show one thing when the prophet speaks about stepping stones. The prophet says it in experiences. I put this on a quote. He says, what he's done, the prophet, he's made a mistake. Now, he's been in Phoenix. We know the story. He's called the miracle lines. He's challenged the people, bring the worst cases. You'll see that God is going to heal every single one that comes in the line. And he put God to the test. And the Bible says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And the Lord let it go for a while. Then the Lord wanted to teach his prophet a lesson. So the prophet challenged the people, then he felt checked in his conscience. The prophet started to read the scripture and he read about Balaam that day. Then he says, I started to realize I was standing in Balaam's shoes. That the Lord had told me I'm confining too much of my ministry to miracles. He says, and now here I was standing challenging people once again to bring up the worst cases in a miracle light. And God was going to heal them. That nothing would stand before my prayers. And they bring up this boy who's half deaf and the prophet prays for him and the boy goes completely deaf. Then brings up the next case and the prophet prays and the prophet says, I knew what it was to stand without God. And God was teaching his prophet a lesson. But listen what he says after that. He says, but now, he says, the next week, he comes back to Phoenix. He says, but now today, the great test is over. And I'm going to let it be to me a stepping stone in the stead of a stumbling block. Now friends, any situation, we can either look at it and allow it to become a stepping stone or we can allow it to become a stumbling block. Any situation. But I believe, as we are speaking these weeks gone by, that if you get yourself out the way, if you get the greatest enemy out of the way, if you get in tune with the mind of God. Remember we read Acts chapter 15 the other week when it says, when the disciples met together because of the dispute over circumcision. And then they wrote the letter and says, it seemed good unto the Holy Ghost and unto the church. That's a good place for people to be. When you find as a church what is good for the Holy Ghost, and you go with what is pleasing to the Holy Ghost, you're going to find a blessing in that situation. But many times we're not prepared to do that. Now we want to find what's good for us. We want to handle things where we want them to be handled. We want the result to work out the way that we want the result to be. Instead of really humbling ourselves before the Lord and trying to say, Lord, what is good unto the Holy Ghost at this time? And if you remember that time, I said to you, if you take a church at any time, not everybody's in the Spirit at the same time. But if you will lean the way that the praying people in the church are leaning, you many times you're not going to go far wrong. The prophet says the majority is the Holy Ghost, yes, in voting of offices and so forth. But if you find the praying portion of the church, those people that are really consecrating themselves before the Lord, and an issue comes up, and you see the way those people are leaning, it's many times a fair indication of the way the Holy Ghost is leaning. Yeah. No, because, like, and I gave that example of Simeon when he came into the temple that day. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And all the rest of the people were coming to the temple, but the Holy Ghost wasn't upon them. And they were looking at Jesus bringing this, Mary bringing baby Jesus into the temple for his time of circumcision. And they were all saying, this is an evil thing. This is a reproach. Now, this is a child of adultery and so forth. But here came Simeon, a man that had been consecrated. And here came Anna, who spent all her time in the temple, ministering unto the Lord. Look at the way they lent in that situation. They lent in a completely different way than the rest of the people, the prophet says, that were just coming fussing about who had the best bonnet and who was dressed best and so forth in the church. And I believe from those principles, when you get into any sort of a transition, any sort of a crossroads in any situation inside of your life. As we said that first Wednesday night, the best thing to do is get the Spirit upon you. Get yourself out the way. Don't deal with spiritual things in fleshly ways. Don't let your natural nature, the prophet says, my nature of things many times isn't God's nature of things. The way we may want to handle things, the way we want to resolve things many times isn't the way God wants it to be done. But when you find people will stop fussing and will go and say, let's shut ourselves in the secret place. Let's get ourselves in our closets and let's go and find out what is the mind of God here. What is pleasing to the Holy Ghost in this situation? And then we yield ourselves down that channel. I believe every situation is redeemable if you do it that way. I don't think there's any situation that can happen in a family, between a husband and a wife, between parents and children, between brother to brother, sister to sister, whatever it is in a church among believers that is not redeemable if people would get in the spirit of redemption. But as we said that week, it doesn't mean you compromise. You don't compromise with issues. That's not going to fix anything. Because if you compromise with issues, all we're doing is deferring the problem down the way. And it's just going to come back bigger. Like when Saul was told, slay the Amalekites, slay every single one of them. And then he compromised. He never thoroughly did what the word said he was supposed to do. That came back later in the book of Esther and came back and haunted them big time when Haman the Amalekite now came and almost destroyed the whole nation. And if he could have dealt with it thoroughly at the beginning, it wouldn't have become the problem that it was. And that to me is the big lesson that I learn in these kind of things. And whenever a situation rises up, friends, the thing I'm going to do, like I said, I'm going to go before the Lord and say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me here? That's the best thing. Instead of me trying to look straight away and say, let me point fingers here, then everywhere, the best thing I want to do is I want to say, Lord, you make all things work together for the good. So what are you trying to teach me here? What is the spiritual principle here? I want this, Lord, to be a stepping stone. I don't want this to be a stumbling block in my way. I don't want this to be something that stumbles me or stumbles the sons and daughters of God. But I want you, Lord, to come into this situation. I want to get myself out of this situation. And Lord, let this become a stepping stone into your perfect will. Because friends, if there comes a conflict, if there comes a misunderstanding, it means God's perfect will isn't yet being established in that relationship. There's certain things haven't yet been resolved according to God's provided way of resolving things. And when we don't resolve things perfectly or following the scriptural way, that thing's going to come back once again. Because God is going to do that to us. He's going to take us around and bring us back and say, okay, last time it wasn't fully resolved, but this time it needs to be completely done. And that's why the eagle stirs the nest. It wants to get rid of all the loose feathers. It wants to get rid of all that is unnecessary on those eagles so those eagles can really fly like mama wants them to fly. But who is the one that stirs the nest? It's the eagle. And who is the eagle? It's Jehovah Eagle. So he is the one. Nothing happens amongst the saints without there being a divine purpose. Nothing happens. And that's how you're going to win, is if you can see it like that from the beginning. If you can see the hand of God in this situation. So the prophet says, I'm going to let it be to me a stepping stone instead of a stumbling block. And so to teach me the ways of the Lord better. So the prophet's looking at this situation and he's saying, I want to allow this to teach me the ways of the Lord better. He says, that I might live closer to him. Is that not your desire as well? Friends, no matter what comes, I want it to teach me the ways of the Lord better. I want it to show me where I'm not handling the word perfect. I may be sincere in what I'm doing because I really try to be sincere. But I may be immature in the way that I'm handling something. I may not yet be golden brown in that aspect of my experience. I may still have some greenness inside of there. And the Lord's got to bring some adversity. He's got to bring some strife, some problems. He's got to stir up the nest a little bit because God wants something to be done His way. He has a desire. He wants the people to come to a certain unity. He wants the people to come to a certain spiritual condition. And he's trying his best to get us there. And he's tried this and he's tried that and it's not working. Then the Lord in his wisdom says, I need to stir up the nest. And that's a divine nest stirring. And friends, it's a wonderful thing if you see it that way. If you'll act that way, if you'll face up to that way, to work in harmony with God during the stirring of the nest, to say, Lord, what is it that you want to bring forth from this? Look what Joseph said to his brothers in Genesis 50. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? His brothers thought Joseph was going to judge them when his father died. But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good. That is why Joseph was perfection. That's the way Joseph would face up to a situation. He could have looked and said, you brothers. Yes, there were issues that had to be dealt with. Joseph never compromised with his brothers. Remember, he put Simeon in the prison and then he put them through all the things that he did to purge them of that weakness. To make sure they had really learned the lesson of selling him. He put Benjamin in their hands. Put them in a hard spot and said, what are you going to do with your young brother Benjamin now? And when he saw Judah come and intercede now, and he saw the brethren there regretting what they had done and saying that God is visiting the blood of our brother upon us. We saw the anguish of his soul when he cried out. We shouldn't have done that to Joseph. Then Joseph saw, good, the brothers have learned their lesson. And that's what God wants us to do, friends, is to learn our lesson. And we need to learn our lessons. Because friends, I don't want to go through any of these things again like this. I don't want it. I'm sure Brother Franz doesn't want it. None of the saints here want to go through strife and contention amongst whoever it is. So it's good today. I want to go through the lessons once again from the Word and the Message as to what does the Word say about these things. And friends, if we are a Word bride, we should be clothed in the Word. And when we face up to things and handle things, God fortifies His church behind the Word. So let's get ourselves behind the Word once again in the way that we deal with things. And then maybe the Lord doesn't have to stir up the nest in that kind of a way to get us to seek Him and find out a certain something that He was trying to teach us at that time. Because like the Lord Jesus Christ, many times we need to learn obedience by the things we suffer. There's something in that principle. Sometimes the only way we really learn the lesson and we allow it, the Lord gets it to stick, is when there's some pain in the lesson. When there's some pain in that learning. It's like it puts something inside of us which isn't easily done away with in the course of time. So that's why Joseph said that. He says, "You thought evil against me." And the devil thought he had an opportunity, but God meant it for good. Because friends, the devil is but the Lord's sheepdog. We know that. Like Brother Davy says in Belfast, the devil's a sheepdog, amen. God makes the devil work according to His parameters. And if we'll just line up with the Lord's going to take what the devil's trying to do and God's going to use it for the good of His children. God's going to use it to bring forth something good every single time. Unless we get ourselves in the way, friends, and we frustrate the purposes of God. And we get in the flesh and we want to do this, that, and the other based on our own human side of things. Instead of getting self out the way and saying, "Lord, we want to follow You. We want to follow You in the garden. We want to go with You all the way," like we sing inside of the song. Then it's going to have to work out for a blessing. It does every single time. So the prophet says that. I'm going to let it be a stepping stone to me. Look what he says in God revealing Himself to His people. He's speaking of the issue of Reverend Best. Remember 1950 Houston when the pillar of fire came down and that Reverend Best was trying to say that Brother Branham was the power of the devil, God didn't heal anymore. And Reverend Best was trying to make a big fuss at that time, trying to disturb the meetings the prophet had by bringing a big fuss. And people were coming to the prophet and telling him, "You need to do this, you need to do that." And the prophet, look what he says. He says, "I've seen they sending letters all the way across the country. Brother Best and them were even writing letters and sending them out about Brother Branham and whatever." He says, "But that won't stop God's work." It doesn't matter what the devil does. He's not going to stop God's work. The prophet says it'll just keep moving on. That's right. Holy Ghost filled people don't pay no attention to stuff like that. The prophet knew no matter what the devil's trying to do here, the Holy Ghost filled people are going to see God here. They're going to find the mind of God here. They're not going to be stumbled by what the devil's trying to do. The prophet says, all the devil moves, that just makes a stepping stone for Christ always. That's the prophet's English. But he's saying every time the devil tries something amidst the children of God, it gives Christ an opportunity to reveal Himself. And it gives the church an opportunity to move on. To go beyond, to put certain things in the past, to deal with them thoroughly at that time. And when the devil thought he was going to win, in the end it's the church that wins. It's the church that's strengthened, that's stronger, that knows the ways of the Lord better. It's dealt with unresolved issues. And when we had the minister's meeting, the officer's meeting straight away when this issue rose up, I was so convinced in my soul. The brothers will know when we had the meeting. I said, "Brothers, God is going to use this for good." I said, "This is good. This has happened because there's unresolved issues that are under the surface. They need to come out. And the only way they need to come out sometimes, God has to shake things a little bit. Then you will see what's inside of the hearts of people. Then people really express who they are and where they stand. And then you can start dealing with things the right way." You know, so God knows what He's doing. And that's why the prophet says even persecution strengthens the church. It's a good thing. Because why? All of the devil's moves, they just make a stepping stone for Christ always. It just gives an opportunity to those people that are walking with Christ. Every single time something good will come from it. Every single time. If you'll just go God's provided way. If you'll just apply His word to that situation. Now, as we'll see, that's going to need putting up the sleeve, spiritually speaking. That's going to need getting down to some hard work and dealing with certain things. That's going to need, if certain wounds from the past haven't healed properly, sometimes you need to open up those wounds again so that they can be, ointment can be applied and that those wounds can properly heal this time. No, sometimes it's going to be painful a little bit, naturally speaking, the process to fix up those things that have been come to the surface. But it's best they come to the surface. Because friends, disunity and false unity are just about the same thing. You know, to have a false unity is the same thing as having no unity at all. We want a genuine unity. God can only, as we've been preaching this, God can only bless a genuine unity. And whatever stands in the way of that genuine unity, if we are the sons and daughters of God, Jehovah Eagle is going to keep on stirring that nest until those issues are resolved and this is what God desires. Those loose feathers are blown out. The issues that need to be resolved have been resolved. Then Mama Eagle is going to say, let's go and fly. This is what I always desired from the beginning. And then those eaglets are going to look and they're going to say, oh, Mama, you're so great. We didn't understand what the nest stirring was for, but how great thou art, how great thou art. Because all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And friends, that scripture, you can't just apply it to certain things. It says all things. Amen. Every single thing. Amen. It works for your good if you'll put it back in the hands of the Lord and say, Lord, you are the potter. I am but the clay. Mold me. What are you trying to teach me? What is the way that you want this thing to be done? And I believe that every situation then is redeemable. And it'll become a stepping stone to a higher height. A stepping stone to a greater unity. A stepping stone to a greater conformity to the image that Christ wants you to be. But sometimes these things, we have to go through them, friends. And we've got to deal with them the way that God says we need to deal with them. So any situation can be redeemed as long as you allow the Redeemer to come in. Amen. You've got to allow Him to come in. Amen. But sometimes we don't want Him to come in because we want to be in control. We want to hold unforgiveness. We want to hold anger. We don't want to deal with things the way God wants them to be. We keep things hidden in our hearts that we're not happy with and so forth. And we don't let the Redeemer come in. So this, although there's balm in Gilead, but the health of the daughter of my people is not yet healed. You see, you get to that situation. And like I'm saying, there can be old wounds that need that balm applied. And you can't just cover them up with a plaster and say the process of time will take care of this. Time doesn't fix anything. Time doesn't fix anything concerning the kingdom of God. It's going back and facing up to those situations one by one. That's the way that those things can be healed. And that's exactly what we're needing at this time. So, many times you find it in the Bible. You find so many examples. I don't really want to get into that much, but every time there was a storm, you find God was in the storm. Have a look at Jonah with the storm. That storm there could have been a real stumbling block to Jonah when he was thrown out of the boat and he went down into the belly of the whale and there was a nest-stirring time. Why was it? Excuse me. He was walking in a permissive will of God. Jonah wasn't walking in the perfect will of God. So God had to send a storm and had to shake things up for a while. And Jonah then had to go and seek the Lord. And the prophet, like it says, the seaweed was around his neck. And he was taken down to the depths of hell. And when he was there, he cried out to the Lord. And then the Lord said, okay, now you're willing to do it my way. Wonderful. And then the great fish goes and vomits Jonah up on the beach. And that brings him perfectly into conformity with the perfect will of God. And then he lines up now with what God wants to be done. And that's the way that God deals with us many, many times. Jesus in the boat as well with his disciples. Now when that storm came on the sea, it was an opportunity for Jesus to reveal himself to the disciples, to reveal another aspect of himself that he had never revealed to them before. And when they went to him and said, Master, carest not thou that we perish? It gave him an opportunity to correct them first of all. Oh, you have little faith. Where's your faith? And then to reveal to them things which they'd never seen him do before. And every single time, if you'll call Jesus on the scene, if you really seek him with all your heart, in whatever circumstances that there would be, it becomes an opportunity for redemption to come forth. It comes an opportunity for him to reveal something to you clearer, or something that you didn't understand before. It becomes an opportunity for him to minister you further. That becomes a stepping stone in your experience. And if you allow it to be a thorough work, it'll take you one step further from the first pull to the second pull to the third pull. And you'll never have to go back again. Because God would have established something thoroughly in your experience by allowing the nest to be stirred at that kind of a time. And what is the thing that the Lord really wants? He wants unity, friends. The greatest thing that God wants is a unity. You know, because God wants a oneness, as we saw the other week. God wanted oneness with Adam and Eve. And when the oneness was broken, God started to work straight away to restore the oneness. God took it upon himself. God didn't just leave them alone to say, let them sort the oneness out themselves. God came down and ministered the resources that they needed. God had to come and speak to them. And then when they started to respond to his spoken word, he started to minister everything that they needed to come back into oneness to him. And God unfolded it through time, through the rending of the veil at Calvary. And then the true oneness could come back between God and his people. But it shows the heart's desire of Jehovah is he desires oneness. And God will go to the greatest length, the greatest sacrifice, the greatest extremes. Like I'm saying, not to compromise. God has never compromised with one sin. But God was willing to take wrong upon himself, willing to go the second mile, willing to come down as a man, take on the form of a servant, humble himself to the death on the cross and so forth. What for? The prophecy is to restore oneness between him and his people. And I think we should be prepared to do that as well. To sacrifice, to take another brother's wrong on us, to be patient one with another, to do whatever is required to reestablish true oneness. When we find a breach in a relationship, we should be Christ-like. Christ always steps into the breach. He's the only one qualified to step in the breach. Only the Lamb was worthy. He was the one who could step into the breach. And Christ in a man, the prophet says, makes you dash out into the front line to stand in the breach. And that includes intercession. And that's how we got so much these weeks gone by about you will never overcome differences without prayer. Never. You can't do it. You may learn all the scriptures you want. You may memorize all the quotes that you want. You may do all those things. But it's the spirit of reconciliation. You've got to get the spirit of grace on you first. You've got to get the spirit that will lead you now to unfold what needs to be done in the material world, in the natural world. But you've got to get the battle fought in the spiritual realm first. And once you overcome yourself in the spiritual realm, once you've laid yourself upon the altar, once you've got yourself subdued, you've got yourself yielded and submissive to the Lord, then the Lord can come and anoint you now. And the Lord can come down and make you an instrument of peace, a vessel of honor to do his work, to establish his purpose at that time. But the first battle, you've got to overcome yourself. The first battle is going to be in prayer. The first battle is going to be in heavenly places. And that's why we read that quote, the prophet again, when he says, if a brother's done you evil, I mean, he's really done you evil and you know that he has. He says, don't say anything about it, which is the first thing we like to do. You want to tell other people in other churches. You want to tell everybody else. But the prophet says, don't say anything about it. Take it to the Lord in prayer. He says, and stand shoulder to shoulder with that brother in the presence of God, the way that prayer should be made. And say to him, Father, here's my brother. He's done me evil. I don't know why he's done me evil. And then let God go talking to you. He says, and then you will start to understand maybe how the devil has twisted him up. Or whatever that it is. He says, then you will start to understand. He says, maybe you will start to sympathize with that person. You're not compromising with what they've done to you. But you start seeing there's more circumstances to this situation than I thought at first. This isn't as black and white as it seemed in the beginning. There's two sides to every story. The prophet says, no matter how thin you slice something, there's always two sides. But we as human beings, we just at first are completely justifying ourselves in our side of things. And we completely disqualify the other person. Until we get ourselves in the presence of redemption, of mercy, of grace. And then God starts speaking to us. And then like I said, that many times you will see that you were part of the problem. Amen. If somebody rebels, like I said, one of your children will rebel, the Lord will start speaking to you to say, you provoked your children unto wrath. Amen. So when you entered prayer there, just willing to say, Lord, my son doesn't respect me. My son this, that, and the other. Let God go speaking to you. And you'll start to see that it's not as clear cut as you thought it was when you were yet in the flesh. But once you start getting in the spiritual realm and dealing with it, you'll start to see, but Lord, surely there's circumstances here which I haven't considered before. And the prophet says, and when you come down to earth again from that place, he says, you'll go and shake hands with that brother. You'll go. You'll want to reconcile. It doesn't mean you're going to compromise. There's going to be issues that need to be dealt with there. You can't just brush them under the carpet. Otherwise, you're going to get to the same situation 6 months down the way. But you're approaching it now in the right spirit. Christ is now in control. Redemption can now come forth. And if that other person's in the same kind of a spiritual condition, all things are possible. It doesn't matter how sharp the dispute was, Paul and Barnabas. It doesn't matter what division that there was. Christ can step in the breach. But Christ wants things to be resolved. Because I'm sure Christ doesn't want to have to do that same thing again down the way. And he wants it at that time that people work through the things. And that's how we spoke about the different principles of unity. And one of the very first principles of uniting with somebody, if you're out of unity, oneness with somebody, one of the very first things you're going to have to overcome is your own sensitivity. If somebody is going to come to you to bring up an issue they want to resolve with you, if you're too sensitive or you're too defensive, you can never come to unity. That's something you've got to overcome yourself. Amen. Listen what the prophet says in the message from that time of dealing with criticism. Now friends, I love to follow the example of the prophet. You know, I don't like Brother Biskel says, he says, don't just tell me the message, tell it to me in the spirit that it was delivered in. And that's the truth. Look at the spirit that the prophet had. Or the spirit of Elijah upon the man, what it made him do. In this message from that time. It says, some time ago I was in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I was having a meeting and I stayed at a cheap hotel. It was downtown, wherever it was. And one night when I came in from the church, the next morning I went out, had breakfast. And when I came back, there was a 22-page letter in a little pigeonhole for me. A 22-page letter, we'll see, of criticism against Brother Brown. Who here has had a 22-page letter of someone criticizing him? I've never yet had that. I've had people say this, that, and the other about me, but I've never yet had a 22-page letter. Look how the prophet handled it. This is how the man ever knew I was there, I don't know. So I read it. The first thing the prophet did, he went in, he read it. Very many of us won't even do that. We won't give ear to the other person. We won't give an opportunity for the other person to freely express what they're not happy with. He says, so I read it, and oh, you talk about good criticism. It was good. It was a stinger. There was things that, yeah, must have been hard. And I appreciate that. I certainly do. My, can you see the prophet saying this can be a stumbling block or it can be a stepping stone? If you're going to accept this and say, well, Lord, everything works together for good. There's a purpose that you've allowed this 22-page letter to come into my pigeonhole. Same like us. If somebody criticizes me. Now, when you're young in the things, friends, you become so sensitive about things, to criticism. But as you go along, you become less sensitive. And when somebody says something, instead of straight away trying to shoot down what they've said, you start taking it to the Lord in prayer. And you start saying, Lord, is there any truth in this? Lord, you know, what are you trying to teach me in this? And many times you'll find, although somebody may even have the wrong spirit upon them, but there's truth in what they're saying. There is a basis to the criticism they're giving you. And if you can just filter it out, filter it in the presence of God, and get the real principal point of what somebody's trying to say, that can help you a lot if you accept it in the right way. So the prophet says, any man that's really got a point and wants to criticize, that checks us up. That makes us check ourselves up. If somebody comes in and says this, that, and the other, you know, it makes you go and check yourself up if you're a genuine person. If you're just such a sensitive person, you're going to bring up ammunition, bring up things from that person's past, you know, defend yourself by attacking that person. Nothing's ever going to be resolved like that. But if you see, but Lord, nothing happens to a believer by chance. But God is behind every move. The prophet says he's trying to test the reaction to an action. He's trying to see, how are you going to react to this? How are you going to handle this? And sometimes it's not easy. None of us like criticism, friends. We'd all prefer everybody all the time to be patting us on the back saying how great we are. But that's not true. Because we're not perfect in all of our ways. We have our good points and our bad. We have our ups and our downs. We have certain things where we're still trying to grow into Elijah's garment. We haven't yet filled the capacity of our calling the way that we should. We're still in the process of coming to the full maturity that God's calling us to. So there's going to be things which warrant criticism. And the prophet says, if we appreciate it, if we take it the right way, it makes us check ourselves up. And then many times we start seeing things about ourselves that we didn't recognize before. We start saying, oh, but that's true. Hey, I didn't handle that very well. I left that for too long. I did this, that, and the other. So instead of the natural reaction that when the criticism comes, you want to look at the vessel of criticism and you want to take out the sword and you want to judge that person, instead you're putting the sword away, you're taking the criticism like Hezekiah took the letter into the presence of the Lord and you're spreading it out before the Lord. And you're now saying, Lord, is there any truth in this? What are you trying to say to me here? What are you trying to teach me? And it can be very productive, friends. It's very bad on your flesh. Your flesh doesn't like that. But now when you start to pray about it and the Lord starts dealing faithfully with you about it and He starts saying, there's some truth there. What about that time you did this? What about that time that you handled that? What about that time that you did this? And then you start having to repent yourself before the Lord. That's the first stage in unity, friends. You're taking it yourself. Remember we saw Daniel when he went in prayer. And he says, Lord, I and my father's house have sinned. That's how he started his prayer. That's how Nehemiah started his prayer. Not, Lord, these others have sinned. I and my father's house have sinned. And we haven't obeyed the voice of your prophets. And that's why all of these things have come upon us. And then he started to seek mercy from the Lord. And the Lord sent down the angel and gave him the understanding that he needed at that time. But that is the first principle, friends. You've got to take it before the Lord. Take that criticism into the presence of the Lord. Get yourself yielded. Get yourself out the way. And let God go speaking to you about what that situation is. And then you'll start to see it the way that God sees it. And yes, there may have been some spice put into it. Somebody may have added their own personal vindictiveness and different things that people do. But you'll find the kernel of truth inside of there and you'll say, Lord, definitely, Lord, I'm guilty. Forgive me, Lord. And that's a wonderful place to start things, friends. A wonderful place to start is at the altar yourself. Is being honest with your own soul before the Lord. And allowing God to deal faithfully with you. We were speaking with somebody yesterday. If you fall out, say, with your wife, and things aren't going well, now it's so easy for husbands, especially when we start getting out of the spirit. We just want to apply that scripture. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as if unto the Lord. Yes, and it's true. But many times when there's a breach in the marriage, if the husband will go and take it before the Lord and say, Lord, how do you see this situation? God will start speaking to you. And then you will start seeing many things, the way that you treated your wife, handled things with your wife, which are causing her to disrespect you. And you're expecting her to respect you, but you're not maybe earning the respect the way that you should be earning the respect. And so you've got to start with yourself. You've got to get yourself in harmony with the perfect will of God. And I believe that if I get in position, other people will fall in position as well. If I'm a husband and I get in my position, my wife's going to find her position as well. But if I'm not in my position, I can't be using quotes in scripture telling my wife to get in her position. I've been given the responsibility of headship in the home. When Adam fell, everything fell with Adam. That was the principle of the word. I've got to get myself in position first. Then I can start worrying about dealing with other people and other issues and the this, that, and the other and the symptoms of the situation. But let me get right down to the heart of the disease. Find out where's the real core of this problem. And friends, I've never, hardly ever yet in dealing with issues, have found a place that one person's 100% right and the other person's 0% right. That never happens. Generally speaking, it comes a lot closer to 50-50 than you would have thought. When you give both people opportunity to express everything that's inside of themselves, then you'll find many times your children, if they're going astray, it's the reaction to what you're doing as well. And the devil's taken an advantage of maybe you not handling things the way that the word says they should be handled. And you need to first line yourself up with the word before you can expect them to line up with the word. So you got to start with yourself. But Laodicea doesn't want to start with itself. It's people's rights. People's opinions. We want to always be right and everybody else is wrong. Friends, you'll never have the blessing of God in your soul if you continue in that kind of a way. You'll always have lukewarm Laodicean religion if that is the way that you look at things. But when you're willing to go humbly before the Lord, when you're willing to submit yourself before the Lord, then He's going to raise you up now. He's going to deal faithfully with your soul. And if you allow Him to do a thorough job, it ministers you into the spiritual condition for you to go and deal with the flesh and blood issues that have risen up now. But you've got to first win the war in your own bosom. And the prophet, look at the way that he was. You can tell the prophet wasn't in a carnal condition. Because the way he reacted to this letter, he says, a criticism makes a good product when? When we're willing to receive it and to test it. So we have to be willing to receive it. If say, Lord, okay, it's not going to be easy. Especially if you've done wrong and you're going to go, like Brother Francois said, Bru, you need to go and sit down with people. You need to go and deal with the issues of the past. Let's go if there's plasters we've stuck over some of these things. Let's take off the plasters now. Let's open up whatever wounds need to be opened up. Let's do a thorough job this time to finish everything up. But it's not comfortable to the ego of the natural man. It's not comfortable to the flesh. You're going to have to first go and lay yourself in the Shekinah presence of God. Put yourself in the presence of redemption Himself. Then when you come from there, you can now start to be willing to receive that criticism. But the prophet says, you don't receive all of it. He says, you need to test it. Because some of it's not going to be justified. Some of it's not going to be the truth. So you're going to receive it and test it and say, what is of God in here? What is the truth? What is my portion in here that God wants me to know? And then you start receiving and accepting that portion of the criticism. The prophet says, so this man had given me the awfulest bawling out. Who likes to be bawled out here? Do you like someone? Would you like to be in the office sometime and someone come and bawl you out? Friends, it's not an easy thing if somebody bawls you out. Do you want someone to come to you as a brother to say, brother, please, I want to speak to you. And give you 22 pages of bawling you out. Friends, you know, there's many people here that would end up a physical affair if somebody did that to them. It would. Someone will take it into the realms of flesh and blood. And the old bully Branham will come back once again, Brother Rooms. You don't want it to be like that. But that's why I so respect the prophet. Look how the prophet handled the situation. This man had given me the awfulest bawling out. He was the dean of a college. And he says, you was talking last night about being in the ministry 25 years. He said, 25 years? I was in the ministry before you were born. You see the very beginning of the letter. You were saying, yes, sir, you were in the ministry 25 years. That means nothing. I was preaching before you were born. Friends, it's going to take grace to turn onto page 2 when page 1's been like that. But the prophet read the whole 22 pages. He says, and he said, I've seen some mighty strange things. I drove last night 15 miles through a blinding snowstorm. Thought I would see a servant of Christ. And what did I find? But a polished up soothsayer. Hey, the man's calling the prophet a polished up witch doctor. The man says, I've come 15 miles driving in a snowstorm. All I saw was strange things. I thought I was going to see a servant of Christ, but I just saw a man who's being used of the devil. Yay! Friends, it's not easy to bear that kind of a criticism. And he said, he wouldn't call me brother. He just said, Branham. This man had de-brothered Brother Branham. See, the basis of the way this man is approaching things is wrong. Because you can't de-brother somebody and then think you can deal with the issues. Now, you can't do that. So he said, and the prophet says, that was all right. And he said, the very idea, the theology, the rottenest I ever heard in my life. Someone comes in the office. That was the worst message I ever heard in my life. I've never heard somebody preach such nonsense as you preached. Was that the Holy Ghost? Well, that was the devil upon you. That's what the man saying to the prophet. Now look how the prophet answered the man. And I thought, well, if he took enough time to write me 22 pages, I ought to write him at least 2 pages back as an answer. So I set down the best that I could. And I said, precious brother, my friends, do not be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. See the prophet? He says, this man won't even say Brother Branham. He says, Branham. The prophet answers him, precious brother. That's Christ-like. What is Jesus calling Judas? Friend. He calls him friend. Let it sink in, friends. It's time for us to stop de-brothering people and de-sistering people and condemning people. It's time, if we message believers, to let the message become flesh. And let's handle things the way the prophet handled things. God has given us that as an example. Christ wants us to be a word bride. He fortifies us behind the word. That's what he wants us to be. And I said, precious brother. I had to call him that. Any man that's been preaching for 50 years ought to be regarded as a brother. Preaching the gospel, no matter how it's been. And I regard him as my brother. That's a Christ-like way of looking at it. Friends, he says, this man, I may not agree with his theology. I may not agree with his approach. But this man's been preaching the gospel for 50 years before I was born. He's my brother. And I'm going to address him as a brother. And I said, I certainly appreciate and esteem highly your long years of ministry for our Lord. Why? That time I told you about Brother Beckett. When Brother Brandt was here and told us about what happened in Brother Beckett's church when a minister, his right-hand man, wanted to leave and wanted to go and start his own things. And then Brother Beckett called the church together and said, saints, this brother now, he hasn't reacted the right way, but we can't remember the 20-something years of service that he's given to the church and to the Lord. Let's build him a church. And Brother Beckett went and built him a church and said, you saints are in that area, you support him as he starts things off. And friends, I saw he got that from the prophet. That even if somebody treats you bad, if somebody treats you evil in the end, never forget all the good that somebody's done. Never forget the good that somebody's done. Appreciate all that they've done and realize the devil's got in here at the end. But there were many good things. There were many good years. There were many good fruits that came from this. He says, and I said, I certainly am thankful to God to let you live at this good old ripe age and the things that you've done. And so forth. And then the first thing, you know, then the prophet started to answer his things. You know, this what is strange to me is that you say this, that, and the other. But I think, like the Bible says, a soft answer turns away wrath. Yeah. I think when that man received a letter and he saw, oh, this is from William Branham, I don't think he expected the letter to start, precious brother. I don't think he expected a response the way that it started. And I'm sure, by the grace of God, if anything came good between them, it was because of that approach that the prophet took. And it's going to be exactly the same with you and I every single time if we approach it that way. Look at Proverbs chapter 27. Let's just remember this principle of the word, friends, before we get to the next point. In dealing with criticism, when people correcting us, when people coming to sit down with us because they don't agree what we've said or done, or they don't understand certain things. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 5. It says, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. If you put it up for us there, please, Paul. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I just want to read that one. Proverbs 27 verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. But we as human beings, we prefer the kisses of people, even if it's deceitful. No, rather appreciate the wounds of a friend, because it's faithful. If somebody comes to you and you know you and that person are heart and heart brother, heart and heart sister, that God has put you together to walk this portion of time together, when that person comes to you and maybe it's going to be some wounds in what he said, it's going to be hard, it's going to be easy, but it says faithful are the wounds of a friend. You're going to appreciate it down the way. You're going to go back and say, brother, I'm glad. When you first said that to me, I was quite offended. But when I really went and considered it, thank you, brother, I needed to hear that. There was a lot of truth in what you said. I didn't want to accept that at first, but thank you for telling me the truth. There's many other people that knew the same thing, but never came and told me what you told me. You're a real friend. That's real friendship, friends. That's real friendship. And sometimes we don't know who our friends really are until we don't have them anymore. Because sometimes people just want to deal faithfully with us. People just want to really get down to the point and tell it the way that it is. And friends, we need to appreciate that. And we need to accept that in the spirit that it's given. Especially if you can see the motive and the objective behind the way that it's being done. You may not appreciate 100% maybe the method that was used. But if you can see the motive and objective of that person was right. They were trying to fix a problem. They were trying to address something that needed to be addressed. Look beyond the veil and see the objective and the spirit that the person's done it in. The prophet even says that. He said, I'd rather have a man wrong in his doctrine and right in his spirit than have a man who's right in his doctrine and wrong in his spirit. One says somebody's got a right spirit, they may put it across to you in a difficult way. But look beyond it, friends. And that's going to need you to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Ghost, to try to understand what is good to the Holy Ghost at this time. And it needs you to get yourself out the way. And sometimes it's not that easy to do. Now the prophet many times says, before you can find a cure to something, you first have to find the cause. Amen. You have to deal with the cause in this situation as well. There's a cause. There's reasons that this happened. We can't overlook those things. We need to faithfully go back and deal with those things. One by one. Every single one of them needs to be dealt with. The prophet speaking of that woman who was unfaithful to her husband when he was away at war. She was in adultery. And then she got all these psychological illnesses and she was so nervous she couldn't leave town and so forth. And then she came to the prophet and the angel of the Lord came down. And then the angel of the Lord revealed, you know, her in her car and almost being hit by a train, and then that she was unfaithful now to her husband when he was at the war. And she said, well, Brother Branham, I've confessed that to God. I said, you never sinned against God. You sinned against your husband. You will have to go and make that right with him first. Can you see that? Before there could be any divine healing in this situation, before Christ and redemption could step into the situation, she needed to go back to the cause. There was a from that time, and it started somewhere. Amen. Something had come in, something against the word. Some behavior that was against the word. Some opportunity had been given to the devil somewhere along the way. And there could never be Christ stepping into that issue until she first was willing to face up to the very thing that had caused the problem. And that was hard for her. And God really had to grant her grace. The prophet says, you'll have to go back and make that right with him first. And friends, that's the truth. We'll see it just now in the scripture. You can't make it right with somebody else. If you've offended somebody or you offended with someone, you have to go to them. You have to go to them. If you want to be fortified behind the word, that's the word. You have to go to them. And if you go to them and you're still not satisfied, you need to go back to them again. And tell them, I'm still not satisfied, bro. And I really want this to be resolved between us. I don't want this relationship to be the way that it is, please. And if it comes to a stage that it gets, after that, it's still not being reconciled, then you need to bring somebody else into it. But friends, you can't just leave it the way that it is. And this lady couldn't just leave it. She thought maybe the process of time had healed this problem. Because it was years after the war. But in the eyes of God, God dwells in eternity, friends. God has no time. Amen. Sin isn't covered by time. Sin is covered by the blood. Amen. Issues are not resolved by just leaving it over time. They're resolved by going, come and let us reason together. Sitting down in the coolness of things and facing up to the things and addressing them one by one. That's God's provided way of dealing with issues, because we're always going to have issues in this life. She said, oh my. I said, that is in the gable end of your soul. The prophet says, that's right back, hidden in your soul, in your subconscious. She says, and all day they could pour gallons of oil on you. And kick and storm and cast out devils as much as they want to, it'll never be able to find the cure till you find the cause. You've got to find the cause first, then you get the cure. What's wrong? Where's it at? And friends, that is the basis of true unity. Where did the problem come in between you and your wife? Where did the problem come in between you and your son, you and your husband, brother to brother, sister to sister? What is the cause? Now, sometimes we look at something when somebody tells us something, we'll say, that's nothing. But to that person, it's not nothing. Amen. You might have said something and you didn't even mean to say it. Like, we never even realized it would be taken the way that it was. And that person, it smites them. They take it to heart. It's a heavy burden for that person. And that person comes to you and says, no, when you said that thing to me, that was very hard. And it's, I was only joking. It's easy to do that. Amen. You're not considering that person. But if you'll go and pray about it and say, Lord, I didn't really realize that I'd offended my wife so much like this. No, Lord, I really want to pray for, grant me grace that this thing might be overcome. And you bring yourself into the depth of that issue. Then you start saying, but Lord, truly, it must really have hurt her. That wasn't as easy as I thought that it was. Then you can go back and you can apologize the right way. You know, the way that people perceive things is reality to them, friends. It may be wrong. Someone's perception of an issue may be wrong. You might be able to prove that it's wrong, but to them, if that's the way they saw something, that's reality to them. Amen. That affected them in a real way. So even if you don't see it that way, you've got to understand they saw it that way. And you've got to deal with it that way by putting yourself in their shoes and going and dealing with the cause of the issue, the way that that person sees the cause of the issue. And that means you've got to let that person express what's in their heart. You've got to let that person speak freely to you about the situation. Now, many times somebody will start speaking, we get all defensive, we get all sensitive, we try to blast back a lot of scriptures, blast back a lot of quotes, and the person shuts themselves up, says no more, and the issue is still resolved in there. And you think you've got a unity, but you've got a false unity. And God's going to say, I'm going to have to stir the nest again, because this hasn't yet been resolved. And maybe he'll try to shepherd you by the word. He'll try to shepherd you when you listen to a message. Try to shepherd you in, you know, the experiences of other people and testimonies that you'll hear and so forth. And if you fail to hear that, Papa Eagle's got to come once again. And sometimes maybe he's got to blow the strife in the house and he's got to allow things to come to a stage that it's almost about to break down to get you to seek him the way that he wants you to seek him about the issue. And then when you now say, but Lord, this is becoming a disaster. I never thought things would be this bad. Then he'll say, come and talk to me about it. And then you go and speak to him, and then he will start to show you the way that he sees that situation. And he'll start saying, you need to resolve this. You need to listen to what your wife is saying. This is affecting her. The devil's taking advantage of it as well. Give her an ear. Listen to what she has to say. Then you get yourself in the right spiritual condition. The atmosphere is right. You say, honey, let's sit down and speak about this. No, really, where do you really think the problems are coming from? And let them speak. And bite your tongue if you have to. But let it all come out, because faithful are the wounds of a friend. Some of the things may sting you. Some of the things may wound you. But unless you get back and deal with the cause, there can be no cure. You might have all the balm of Gilead and the books and the tapes. The balm of Gilead all over in theory, friends. But you've got to apply the balm of Gilead in real terms in that situation. And the situation's not just going to go away. And that's what this lady didn't want to do. She didn't want to go back and face up to the real cause of the issue she was having in her home. And you can't tell me she was in unity with her husband at that time. When you've been in adultery back then, you've never made it right. And you've got all of these spiritual problems because of it. I don't think things were that good in the home. And the proof of it is, you know what the proof is? Things weren't good in the home. The grace of God came down and showed the prophet that that man, just the day or the week before, had been in adultery with his secretary, her husband. The prophet says, the Lord's just shown me he's guilty of the same thing. So can you see how the relationship deteriorated from bad to worse? Until both of them now were guilty of the same thing. Because it hadn't yet been resolved. And that's how the prophet says, you've got to find the cause first. He says in Lamb and the Dove, he says, I'm trying to stand in the gap. He was speaking between the Pentecostal groups. And say, we are brethren together. I believe if God will let me have something to do with uniting the body of Christ. He says, I think it's the sickest body that I know of. But the greatest divine healing that needs to be done tonight is in the body of Christ to be healed as one person. Can you see it's the same principles as healing in the natural, same principles of healing in the spiritual, same principle of healing in any relationship, any circumstance or situation that comes up. It's the same divine principles you've got to follow every time. There's no two ways of handling those kind of things. What is God's provided way? Let's look at the scripture, Matthew 5, verse 22. Matthew 5, 22. Let's fellowship on that as we come down towards a close. Matthew 5, verse 22. Listen to what Jesus said. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. That's the Sanhedrin. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. So Jesus, he started off here saying, Moses said, you've heard it said of old, that if you, thou shalt not kill. And Jesus is now bringing it into the spiritual realm. He's now magnifying the law. He's trying to show that, you know, you don't have to physically, like the prophet says, put a knife into somebody to kill them. He says you can kill somebody's reputation. You can kill somebody by saying something false and something evil against them. You can kill somebody by gossiping about them. You can kill somebody by having the spirit of hatred and unforgiveness against them. In the eyes of God, you've got the same guilt as a person under the old covenant who literally went and killed somebody. Because you're governed by the same spirit. You've got yourself in the same spiritual condition as that person. Then he says the next verse, therefore. So he's continuing on from the previous verse. If thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother has aught against you. So you come into communion. You come into divine service. You're coming as a song leader. You're coming as a minister. Whatever it is, you come into, make a sacrifice for the Lord. You come into worship in the house of God, whatever it is. And just at that time that you're coming, Jesus has given an example. And he's taken them like in a picture to the temple. And here comes a man and he's guilty and he needs grace in his life. And he's bringing his offering. He's bringing his lamb. And you'd bring the lamb to a certain place. You'd wait now for the priest to finish whatever he was doing. Then the priest would call you to come forth with your offering. You'd lay your hands on the offering. You'd confess your sins over the offering. Slay the offering. And they would burn certain parts as the burnt offering. Well, the sin offering, trespass offering, whatever it was. So you've come from home, you've got guilt inside of your soul, you know that you've transgressed against God. You know things aren't well between you and God, you don't have a harmony. And you know God has a provided way, God has a mercy seat, God has redemption, and you're bringing God's provided sacrifice with you. And you're coming right to that place that you're standing, waiting in the line for your turn now. And then you remember, I offended my brother, I offended my sister. Not that your brother or your sister offended you. We'll see another scripture about that just now. But Jesus is saying, and then you remember that your brother has something against you. What does Jesus say? Next verse, bro. Leave there thy gift at the altar. Leave everything. Don't try to go forward in the things of God. Don't try to do anything else. Leave it there. Go thy way. You're not going to find mercy at the mercy seat yet. There's unresolved issues that need to be dealt with first. Go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. That is a stinger of a scripture, friends. That is something which we don't want to do. That's something that the flesh will squirm out and find excuses why you don't have to do it. Every day of the week if you're not careful. Now listen how the prophet applies that. If you can put the slides back, bro. The prophet applies that here. He says, and thou son of David, have mercy on me. I like everybody. I can say from my heart, if I knew tonight that I had an enemy. He says, I may have, I perhaps have. But if I do, I don't know just who it is. If it was, if I knew I had an enemy, I sure wouldn't go preaching till I first went and made that right. See if I could get it straightened up. Because sometimes, friends, you and I will be willing to go and make it right and the other person's not. You're guiltless before the Lord. You've gone, you've tried, you've prayed, you've got yourself humble before the Lord. You've gone and you've faced up to it. You've done everything that you can. You've called Jesus into the situation. Now, it's governed by also the free will of the other person. Because if you're going and you're extending the right hand of fellowship once again, and the person doesn't want to extend their right hand of fellowship, you can't force the issue. If it's a sharp thing and it's affecting the unity of the church, you've got to get other people involved. Yes, you do. You can't just leave it like that. But look what the prophet said. He said, if I was coming to preach today, and I knew that I had an enemy, that somebody was against me, he says, before I'd come and preach, I'd go and try to resolve that issue first. Then he continues on. He says, to see if I could get it straightened up. Because we're not supposed to have anything against anyone. Or if anything we can do, let no one have anything against us. See? And it doesn't say if you have aught against your brother. But if the brother has aught against you. See? You go to him. See? If he has the aught. And that way we live peaceful. That way we live peaceful. Any other way isn't God's provided way, friends. Any other way we're just reasoning ourselves into a situation. And it's just like Adam and Eve trying to put fig leaves. The fig leaves will stay green for a few days and they're going to start to die. Because they're not attached to the divine resources. The same as you and I trying to find any way of resolving a situation that's not God's word. You know, the fellowship, the fig leaves, the leaves may seem to be green for a short portion, but they're quickly going to dry again. Things are going to dry because it's not our enthusiasm, it's not our zeal, it's not whatever else we can input into a situation, our sincerity that fixes the situation. It's following the word. It's going God's provided way. And it's going to need people on both sides of the breach to be willing to heal the breach. It's going to need both people to say, I'm going to step in the middle. I'm going to step in as Christ because I want this thing to be resolved. And I've never yet seen it that where two people want something to be resolved in the kingdom of God that it wasn't resolved. How can it not be resolved? If things aren't resolved, it means maybe one person is in the flesh or maybe both people are in the flesh. Because what did Paul say to the Corinthian church? He says, you have divisions among you. You have contentions among you. And then he diagnoses the cause. What does he say the cause is? He says, are you not carnal? He says, you're fleshly. He says, if you can't resolve these differences, you're carnal. Because spiritual people can definitely resolve their differences. Spiritual people will stay at it and say, I'm going to see this process through to the end. I'm not going to let the devil win here. I'm not going to let him triumph. I'm not going to let the devil be blowing his trumpet. You'd be saying like David, tell it not in Gath, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. But you'd be saying, I'm going to keep this in my bosom, in the sacred sands of my bosom. And I'm going to seek the face of God at the mercy seat. And I'm going to go and speak to my brother. I'm going to go and speak to my sister. And if it's not resolved the first time, I'm going to say, brother, would you mind if I can come back once again? Because I really desire the balm of Gilead. A desire healing in this particular relationship. And then he can step in on the scene, apply the ointment, and he can heal whatever was there. And friends, and that wound's never going to surface again. It's going to be healed and it's not going to trouble you down the way. Because it's been resolved. You've taken it God's provided way. Now, look on the other side as we come to a close. Mark 11, Jesus gives it to the other person as well. The person who has the issue against the person. What does the word say? Mark 11, 25. If you can put it for us there, Paul. Thanks. And when you stand praying, if you have aught against any. So it's the other side now. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which in heaven may forget you. When you stand praying, sorry, forgive if you have aught against any. So friends, I don't really see where the devil gets into this issue if we follow the leadership of the Lord. You know, this fortification of the word that God has given us to defend ourselves behind. I don't see much room here for the devil if you do it God's way. If the person who's offended somebody, and you may not have meant to offend them, but you've offended them, and you want to go and say, I want to make this right because my brother's offended with me. I don't want it to be like this. And the person who's taken an offense, they're taking it in prayer. They're standing before the Lord in prayer. And they're saying, Lord, my brother offended me. I forgive him. I forgive her. How can that relationship not be fixed? How? How can that problem not be resolved? Where's the problem coming in? We're not applying the scriptures. We're not living the word. The word's not becoming flesh. Friends, we say we are word bride on great things, but the prophet says sometimes it's not the big things we do, it's the little things that we leave undone. It's letting these things become flesh. Let this word be born in you and bring forth of its own kind through you and through me. I don't see how we can't resolve differences. I don't see how we can't. Forgive if you have aught against any. That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Next verse. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So you get yourself out of harmony with God when you're holding an issue. I'm saying, I'm not going to forgive them. I'm going to hold this against them. The prophet says, take that person before God in prayer and let God go speaking to you. And though they've done you evil, you'll come down from there wanting to sort that issue out. Because you'll realize this is the devil that's got into this issue. The devil's trying to take advantage of this situation. Now, I'll finish with a couple of quotes. Take on the whole armor of God. Now the enemy knew as long as the human race stayed with that word, he'd never be able to touch them. As long as you and I stay in the word, the enemy will never be able to touch us. So when we see the enemy come in like he just has, and the attributes of the enemy manifesting, we weren't staying behind the word. It's as simple as that. Amen. So it's good for us to check up our armor once again. And say, look, I can't do much about other people, but am I behind the word in this? Am I walking in the spirit of the word in this? The prophet says, now I'm beginning to feel religious right now. As long as the human race stayed with the word, God fortified his family on the earth, his army in the fort of his word. Friends, what a fort. What a bastion against the enemy. The word. God fortified his army in the fort of the word. But when we come out of the fort and we go to fighting and contending and dealing with things and we're not behind the barricades of the word, the enemy twists us around every time. Every single time. And he thinks he's getting the best. But God says, no problem. I'm going to turn the situation around for my glory. My sons and daughters need to learn from this situation once again. They need to be better fortified. Learning obedience through the things that they suffer. Listen in. Laodicean Church Age. Page 360, Church Ages. Now, there will not be one person who will sit on the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ unless he has been living that word. That's one to stick on the fridge, friends. There's not going to be one person sharing his throne if you haven't been living the word. Not quoting the word, not reading the word, but living the word. You're not going to share his throne unless you live the word. Your prayers, your fastings, your repentances, no matter what you present to God, none of that will gain you the privilege of sitting on the throne. It will be granted only to the word bride. The word bride. As the throne of the king is shared with the queen, because she is united to him, so only they who are of that word, even as he is of that word, will share that throne. And that brings it down, friends, to your everyday life at home. It brings it down to your prayer life. It brings it down to your dealings with disputes. It brings it down to dealing with your children, dealing with your husband, dealing with your wife, the way you deal with your colleagues at work. The word has to be flesh in all situations, friends. It's not just the selective portions of the word that we want to choose and say, I'm going to focus on this because I want this to become flesh. That's fine. Pentecost can manifest the word in many ways. but that can't produce a word bride. But to the bride, because of the seed that God has predestinated in you, you'll never be satisfied until you're lining up with the word. You'll never. And the church will never be settled until we're handling it according to the word. Until we're living that word. And friends, it's a personal word. Because God calls the Gentiles as individuals. It's not that we keep pointing at other people, but he needs to do this. Maybe they do. But start with me, Lord. Lord, if the revival is going to start it in me. If reconciliation is going to start, let me be the first instrument of reconciliation. Lord, let the word be made flesh in me first. Then I'll start worrying about my brother and my sister and other things. That's the principles of the word, friends. It'll work in the home. It'll work with your family. It'll work with your brothers and sisters. It'll work in the body of Christ globally. It'll work no matter where, because it's the principles of the word. Let's finish with Acts chapter 4, verse 32. The prophet says this is a paradox. This was a paradox. This was something that's unbelievable but true. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. The early church, fresh from Pentecost. Fresh. And the multitude of them. Friends, there were thousands of them. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. My. The prophet said it's a paradox to find a people, a multitude, that can be one heart, one soul. Amen. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but that all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Ah, friends, as we said the other week, you've got to work from the pattern. You've got to work from the original. If you want to assess where you are as a believer, you got to. The prophet says, any true messenger will take himself back to Paul. Any true church will take themselves back to Pentecost. Because that was the original, the perfect work that came from Pentecost. So if we want to see where we are, how far we've fallen, and what we need the restoration in, we need to assess ourselves against what was in the beginning. And as an individual, we need to do the same. And friends, we have a message of restoration. We had a messenger who came and lived restoration out before us. And we can see the fruits of the prophet's life. We can see how he stood in the gap, how he desired reconciliation. We can see the way the prophet handled situations, the way that he was so Christ-like in the way that he did his things. And I'm sure that your soul is the same as mine. When you see the perfect image being reflected, you want to be transformed into the same image, like the Bible says. When you continue to look into that perfect image, you will be transformed into the same image. But it needs the grace of God. Let's do Psalm 133, just to show how David was saying, behold. This was something to behold, something he was pointing to and saying, this is something to pay attention to, because this isn't natural. This is something supernatural. Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's something to behold. Heaven will be pointing and saying, behold, this is a powerful thing. These people are dwelling together in a unity. Though they come from different lands, different nations, different tongues, different colors, different customs and cultures, but they've got a oneness in heart, oneness of purpose. They've got the unity of the Spirit between them. That's a paradox, friends. That's something to behold. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. That's why, if problems in the home, start with the head. Get the anointing on the head. And then it's going to run down to the rest of the members of the body. Problems amongst the brethren you fellowship with, take it upon yourself. Say, Lord, I want the anointing to come from my head. And I want it to go down from me and flow onto other people to bring about this something that needs to behold. Verse 3. As the Jew of Hermon, and as the Jew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. That's where you're going to find the full blessing. That's where you're going to find Zoe life. His life indeed is when people have got themselves in that kind of a unity. May the Lord help us, saints. Let's stand. Let's come to a time of worship before the Lord, before we pray. Let's just be asking the Lord to search us. today as individuals. They search me, O Lord. And grant me grace that I might come into full conformity with your will and with your word at this time. So glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them that desire unity. I'm one of them who desire the blessing that comes with unity. I'm one of them who desires to be one with my brothers and one with my sisters. I'm sure you the same. Wouldn't that be your testimony today to say, Lord, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. And as you sing it, let it be a testimony before the devil as well to say, Satan, me, I'm not listening to you. I'm not one of those, but I'm one of them. One of them.
people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart. Glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them.
Hallelujah.
One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them.
I'm one of them.
One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Though these people may not learn it be who boast of worldly fame, they have all received the Pentecost tithed in Jesus' name. And are telling now both far and wide, His power is yet the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I'm so glad.
One of them, one of them.
Hallelujah.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Hallelujah.
One of them.
I'm one of them.
One of them.
My Lord.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. They were gathered in the upper room, praying in His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Powerful service came. Now what He did for them that day, He will do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I'm glad
one of them. One of them.
I'm so glad.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them.
Hallelujah.
One of them.
Oh my Lord.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Come my brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin, that will start the joy bells ringing. Keep the soul aflame, it is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I'm so glad today I'm
one of them.
Hallelujah.
One of them.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Come now, seek His blessing.
Come, my brother, seek His blessing. Cleanse your heart from sin. That will start the joy bells ringing and will keep the soul aflame. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to His name.
Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm
one of them.
I'm so glad today I'm
one of them. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them.
Hallelujah.
One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. You might be saying, you know, I feel guilty in my soul, and I've really fallen short and so forth. It's okay. You can be justified. Justified today through the precious blood of the Lamb. All it needs is an acknowledgement of sin from your soul, and grace has already started. The prophet says, as soon as you're sorry for what you did, God forgives you. That's what it is. Let's sing the song, Justified. Let's come to a time of prayer.
I was sitting alone and wondering about what I'm supposed to do. I can't deny the times I make mistakes. I can't hide from him in you. But I knew that deep within my soul I felt sorry, honest I do. So I just cried and said, forgive me, Lord, forgive me again, will you?
Justify, justify. You have not done it in the first place. You justify, justify, oh, justify. You have not done it in the first place. You justify. Oh, so often I'm discouraged when I count the times I fall. 'Cause he promised I'd be victorious when I knew I'm not at all. Then I heard an eagle scream, his voice quickened my soul. He said, you've not done it in the first place, you justify. Oh, justify. Justify, you have not done it in the first place. Oh, you justify, 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 you have not done it in the first place. You justify. Oh, he looked at your perfect picture without blame, spot or wrinkle. He didn't look at you where you are now. He looked from eternity. He said, you're just stuck in that body. You bypass your theophany. You have not done it in the first place. You justify. 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 You have not done it in the first place. Oh, justify, justify, oh, justify. You have not done it in the first place. You justify,
justify,
justify, justify. You have not done it in the first place. You justify, justify, justify. You have not done it in the first place. You justify.
Saints, let's bow our heads. My friends, we are justified through the blood. But it doesn't mean that we don't have to sometimes go back and make right the things that we've done wrong. We've got to make restitution where restitution is due. But the sins that we've done against God, we make right to God. The sins that we've done against man, we make right with man. And that's the principles of the word. You know, it needs grace, friends. It needs Him to minister the resource to you to do it. It's like anything in the kingdom of God. You can't do it yourself. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Because I'm the vine and you are the branches. But if you have a willingness inside of yourself this afternoon, though maybe you don't feel yet you have the power, the anointing upon you to do what you know needs to be done, why not speak to Him about it now? And say, Jesus, I want to do that which is right. If you'll help me, Lord. If you'll quicken me. If you'll strengthen me, Lord. If you'll lead me at this time. And just, Lord, do something for me. I'm going forward in your precious name. I want to face up to whatever needs to be faced up to, Lord. And I really do believe the Lord will help you. Because that's the desire of His heart. That's the expectation of heaven today. Heaven looks down upon us, friends. And God so much wants to bless in a greater measure. We thank the Lord for the things that He does. He's good. His ways are good. But He's waiting upon us, friends. He's waiting upon us to resolve some of these things. And some of them maybe have been long-standing. And He's saying, Lord, you just help me, Lord. I want this to be a stepping stone in my life. I don't want it to be a stumbling block to my brothers and sisters, Lord. So I'm bringing and I'm giving it into your hands. And I'm saying, Lord, take this, Lord. You can take the loaves and the bread and you can feed the multitude. You can take the situation, you can minister a blessing from it, Lord. And commit it into His hands. Whatever you need before the Lord, if you need salvation today, speak to Him. And say, oh Jesus, have mercy upon me. Forgive me, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. Forgive me, Lord. And speak to Him. Let's all come to a time of prayer. Let's speak sincerely to the Lord before we go. In Jesus' name. Father, as your people, once again we come at the end of this service, Lord, just to commit, Father, the word unto you, Lord. To commit, Lord, the fruits of your word unto you, Lord. I thank you.
Keep him, Lord Savior. Provide for him, Lord Savior, spiritually, Lord, physically, Lord, I pray. Even at this time, remembering all, even at this hour, Lord Savior God, committing, Lord Savior, the weak, Lord, and all its needs before thee. Guide us and keep us.
Father of life, seated on your throne of grace, yeah. Let's just continue to worship a little bit, saints, here before we close.
Jesus Christ. Adonai, crowned in praise, Lord, Hosanna, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Saints, just a reminder that we have Brother Msimange coming this week. He actually gets in Wednesday noon, I think midday. So Brother Msimange will be with us for next weekend and for the weekend after. He's coming to visit Sister Patience and Brother Mike. So we'll have services next weekend on Saturday evening, 5 o'clock, and on Sunday with him. We just want to arrange something a little bit different, some fellowship with him on Friday evening. So please keep him in prayer as well, that the Lord may really minister a blessing to us at this time. That the Lord may lay upon his heart the very things that we need. Don't you want that? It's so wonderful when the Lord sends somebody at this kind of a time. Like to see Brother Lubanza again. To me, it's the grace of God at this time, exactly. It's wonderful to see him. Are you around on Wednesday, Brother Lubanza? No. Okay. If you're around on Wednesday, then we're going to invite you for Wednesday. But it would have been a good start for the weekend. But as I said, any time you're here, please, bruh, let us know beforehand. We'll ask Brother Lubanza, would you mind coming to close for us in a word of prayer, bruh? And may the Lord bless everyone as we go. Let's be in the spirit of prayer at this time, friends. Let's be sensitive to his leadership. Let's do what the Lord wants us to do. And I'm sure this is a stepping stone to take us unto greater glory. Please, brother. Thanks, brother. God bless you richly, brother. It's nice to see you, brother. God bless you, brother.
Let's pray. Seigneur Jésus Christ Tout-Puissant.
Yes, Lord.
Créateur des cieux et de la terre.
Yes, Lord.
Donateur de tout don excellent.
Amen.
Merci de nous avoir accordé le privilège, ô Dieu, de nous incliner devant ta face, Père, dans ta présence. Ô Dieu, à cette heure où tu nous vas parler, Seigneur, du haut des cieux. Merci d'avoir touché nos cœurs, de nous avoir corrigés, Seigneur. Ô Dieu, de nous avoir rectifiés, Seigneur. Cela montre réellement que tu es un Père plein d'amour. Parce que l'amour corrige toujours. Dieu Tout-Puissant, Dieu de gloire, ton prophète nous a montré par les Écritures que l'enlèvement n'aura jamais lieu s'il n'y a pas d'unité parmi le peuple. C'est pourquoi, ô Dieu, le Saint-Esprit ce matin, au travers de ton serviteur, le pasteur, en nous, Seigneur Jésus-Christ, ô Dieu, il nous a ramenés, Seigneur, dans ta parole, Seigneur. Derrière, Seigneur Jésus-Christ, la protection, comme tu nous l'as dit, Seigneur Jésus. Merci, miséricordieux, compatissant. Nous croyons de tout notre cœur que tu as regardé, Seigneur, nos prières, nos requêtes, Seigneur, qui sont montées vers toi comme un parfum de bonne odeur, Seigneur. Et tu as pardonné nos péchés, nos erreurs, nos différences, Seigneur Jésus-Christ. Merci, Père, pour ta parole et ton serviteur. Bénis son ministère. Bénis sa famille, Seigneur Jésus. Et le pastorat, Seigneur. Et Père, c'est tellement merveilleux de contempler, Seigneur, l'esprit d'un pasteur, Père, dans ton serviteur, Seigneur Jésus. Et comment, Seigneur Père, il traite, Seigneur, ta parole avec pour ton peuple, Seigneur. Bénis-le, Seigneur Jésus. Bénis sa famille. Bénis, Seigneur, tout ce qu'il entreprend, Seigneur, pour ta gloire. Bénis cette église et tous tes enfants, Seigneur.
Amen.
Qui ont écouté ta parole, qui ont accepté la correction et qui ont crié vers toi. Nous croyons de tout notre cœur, Seigneur, que tu as exaucé la prière de chacun. Maintenant que nous allons repartir à la maison, accompagne chacun de nous, Seigneur. Et les réunions de la semaine sont remises entre tes mains, Seigneur. Croyant, Seigneur, que tu vas continuer à nous bénir, Père. Nous nous confions entre tes mains pour ta gloire et pour ton honneur dans le nom précieux, puissant de Jésus-Christ, notre Sauveur et notre Dieu, nous avons ainsi prié. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, brother. Thanks, brother. Now, since the prophet, when he speaks about using the season, you know, there are certain seasons, like the prophet says, when the Bible says the presence of the Lord, what the power of the Lord was present to heal. And the prophet says, just like when the angel would come down in the water, if you stepped in at that time, there was grace towards you. And there's certain seasons when the Lord draws near, and if you take advantage of that season and you just respond like the prophet says to the anointing, you can do so much more at those kind of times than in any normal season. But many times you find that anointing of a particular type, it lifts away and it goes into something else, and God takes it into something else. And if you didn't step into the water while the virtue was there, you don't get the benefit from that visitation. And I'm really convinced inside of my soul at this time that anybody who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying inside of your own soul, you know, the Lord really wants certain things to be done at this time. Yeah, I think everybody realizes that. Anybody who's half spiritual, I've been feeling it for these last few weeks. I've really been feeling in my soul saying, Lord, what a glorious opportunity. And friends, if you seek Him now, you'll find Him. He's very near and He's very real. And he'll minister all the resources that you need to do some of the things maybe that you were struggling to do in the past concerning unity, concerning your brothers and your sisters. And I would really encourage you at this time, don't put it off.
Amen.
Just go and ask the Lord for grace. And as he opens the door, as he opens the way, just follow his leadership. And you'll see he'll do wonderful things. I really do believe this. So God bless everybody. Let's sing one more song as we dismiss in Jesus' name.
This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. I'm desperate for you, I'm desperate for you, Lord. And I'm lost without you, Jesus. This is my daily bread, this is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your spoken word revealed to me, and I I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you, my Lord. I'm lost without you, Lord. And I'm desperate for you, my Lord. And I'm lost without you.
Jesus, draw me closer. Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away.
Fade so far from me, Lord.
Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to you. For I desire to worship and obey.
This is my desire. Hallelujah.
Oh, this is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart. I worship you.
Oh, we worship you, Lord Adonai.
All I have
within me, Lord,
I give you praise. All that I adore is in you.
All is in you, Jesus.
Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord,
have your way in me.
Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul.
I live for you alone. You every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way.
And I I'm desperate for you, oh my Lord. And I'm lost without you, Jesus. And I'm desperate for you. And